Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, my friend, how are we doing this week?
Good day, I'm okay. Bad day, I'm okay. That's all I got to say about today. It's been, I'm good. I'm glad we're able to record. We're going to talk some football, and that is a welcome relief for me today.
Get you away from some house issues, right?
I tell you, Jimmy, within the last month, I've had a main sewer line backup where I had raw sewage in the house and had to deal with that. So now I've got a water leak. And so I can't do it anymore. I'm like mentally exhausted, but all is well. Let's talk some Penn State football. It's mid-August, Jimmy. It is time. You know, I'm getting fired.
2 weeks, Andy. 2 weeks till it starts.
Yeah. JV schedule, got a month of JV schedule. Yeah. So with a bye.
Do you know what, Andy? And you know, among the two of us, I'm the Penn State guy, right? I'm the Penn State fan.
Oh, yeah.
But you and I are both college football fans.
Yeah, there's plenty of college football to love.
And if you don't want to watch the Penn State JV games, as you put it, which is pretty accurate, there are so many other good games going on that those first couple weeks that it will occupy us, will it not?
We will have plenty to digest and talk about. I can't wait. It's just 14, 15 more days. That's it. And we're in it. In it to win it.
And you know what, Andy? That first weekend, Ohio State plays Texas. I cannot imagine there being two teams that I care less about than those two teams, okay? With that said, I can't wait to watch that game.
Yeah, I was about to say, you better want to watch that game because there's a lot to be learned from that football game on both sides on many levels. It's a hammer, and that game sets the tone and the tenor for the 2025 season. That game will set the tone and tenor of what we can expect going forward.
And the conversation, Southeast Conference versus Big Ten, it's all part of it. Anyway,
let's
move on, Andy. And James Franklin met with the media earlier this week. It's always fun. One of the things that I point out, I think James Franklin is a lot more candid in these press conferences than he's often given credit for. And the rule of thumb that I use is if someone asks him about a specific player, he's not going to say anything negative about that specific player. Not, you know, typically.
He can't.
But if he brings up a player, there's significance to it.
Well, there's a little bit of tea leaves in there. And you know, it was short. Like for James, it was like, what, 10, 12 minutes. It wasn't long. Like he wasn't very long-winded. I know you have some stuff that we want to talk about. What grabbed me was, and this is sort of under the radar type thing that grabbed me and shook me in a good way when you're thinking about Penn State, the expectation thing, right? Like, are you a potential, you know, college football playoff champion type conversations? He didn't run away from it. He caveated and said, we're not putting any stock or looking at polls and rankings and stuff like that, but we have exceptionally high expectations. In other words, as the sort of all-in offseason team, as they get ready to play, they're not running or hiding from the elephant in the room. They're embracing it. To me, there's a big difference between the two. You know, we're not talking about the playoffs. We're not talking about Oregon. We're not talking about, you know, 10 and 11 or 12 wins. We're not talking about there's a stance. And I think it might've been in the past where that would have been the case. that's not the case this year. They're like, yeah, no, we're good. We know it. And our expectations are sky high. That's a different mindset, mentality in terms of the team that he has and who they are. That matters too. So that sort of grabbed me as like, they are not shying away from the expectations and the conversation around this team at all. They're not, they're still going to do the, it's whatever, Rutgers week or Michigan State. That's a process. But big picture conversation, they are not avoiding the elephant in the room. There seems to be an actual embracing of it. And that is a big difference mentality-wise for an entire program and squad going into a season like this.
Do you remember, Andy, a few or maybe even several weeks back, one of our listeners sent the question of, you step into an elevator with James Franklin, you have time to ask him one question. What would that question be?
Right.
And my question was going to be about that going from a good or great program to elite. I feel like he feels that they're there, that they are now an elite team.
I think he feels they're on the precipice. Correct.
Right. You've got to do it on the field or it doesn't count.
It doesn't matter. Right.
But prior to doing it on the field, you've got to do the other things. Perhaps the biggest thing is acquisition or retention of talent.
Well done.
This year's team, check
acquisition, retention, all of them. Check.
So I think everything that needs to be done leading into a season, the right coaches in position. He went out, he lost a defensive coordinator and went out and got the very best. He lost a very good running backs coach and probably got another one who's as good. So he's done all the things, put everything in place to get there. And Andy, I'll use that as a segue to he was asked about. So he talked about the wide receivers. So part of acquisition of talent was that acquisition through the transfer portal. Now, you have said, and I agree, show me. We got to see it first before we believe it.
Correct.
But he talked about they got Kyron Hudson, Trevor Pena, and I think he did about as well as he could in the acquisition of talent for the wide receiver room.
Well, it was a wasteland. It was a badlands. They had to do this. We said it right after, you know, the season ended. Like, they need to be shopping in the transfer portal for receivers over and over and over. And literally they themselves recognize that we don't need one or two. We need three starters. They knew they needed three starters. And these three transfers that you already mentioned, they're the guys. They're their wide receiver core. Now, maybe a guy like, you know, a couple redshirt freshmen, maybe, you know, have something to show, you know, Pete Gonzalez and Tysier Denmark. Maybe they get, you know, minimal opportunities. Liam Clifford plays a small but inside the box role, right? Like, but for the most part, any and all conversations about the wide receiver position will be changed, has to be changed by the three transfers. That's it. Those three guys are 1-1-1 on your depth chart, and they're the three guys that are going to be responsible for starting to take a step away from what we know as the expectation for Penn State's wide receivers.
And Andy, he was also asked about, and this is connected to those wide receivers, is the quarterback. And he was, James was asked about Drew Aller, and it's interesting, I think, James, because it hits a little too close to home.
Correct.
He won't talk about Drew Aller needs to improve in big games, because I think the immediate response for most people is, James, look in the mirror. You need to improve in those big games also. But he did point out, and I believe this is also part of my being so high on this Penn State team, is having a quarterback. He's now a 3-year starter, Andy.
Right.
And not a lot of teams in the projected top 10 have that kind of experience at quarterback.
For Penn State, the next level is all about Drew Aller, right? I say that, and I'm going to sound a little weird. It's all about Drew Aller, but it also has nothing to do with Drew Aller to a degree. And by that, I mean he's got everything you could ask for and need pretty much around him. Offensive line, a pair of stud running backs, receivers that have experience and are capable, right? A wealth of talent at the tight end position to use however they pick and choose, right? Like, he's got every wagon spoke that you need in the wheel around him. So therefore, it's all about him not being part of the problem. If he becomes a next level quarterback, Penn State becomes even more untouchable as a program and as a football team this year. If he plays in big games, say how he plays against Michigan State or Maryland, right, on a game where they out-roster him, if he plays at those kind of levels consistently in next-level games, Penn State won't be a team that can be handled. That's just how good they are around him. So it has nothing to do with him because he has so much around him, but at the end of the day, it literally has everything to do with him.
Andy, there was one other comment that he made that I found intriguing. We all know the red light, green light, yellow light for freshmen. Sure. Are they going to burn their red shirt or not? But what I found fascinating is he says, we talk to every freshman and we ask them what they think they should be.
What they think they should, what they think they are right now, right?
Yeah, and I think that's very telling. Now, he told a story about Chaz Coleman, a freshman defensive end, who said, well, I'm probably a yellow. And he said him and the rest of the coaching staff, hey, dude, you're not a yellow. Okay,
no, you're a green.
But I think that really speaks to how he runs this operation. And it's a great way to get the mindset of these freshman players.
Yeah, and there's the freshman players aren't going to, because this roster is built so well, they won't be contributors, but they will be important pieces. That's a big difference, Jimmy, right? The green lights aren't going to be green light need. They're going to be green light wants. That's a big difference in my mind.
Well, there's going to be a couple surprises among the freshmen. And just a little hint, coming up in our next show, I have Mike Villagrana on, and he's going to talk to us about some of these young players and what he has seen at practice with that. But Andy, next up, when we come back for quarter two, AP poll came out. We're going to talk about it when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. Andy, the AP poll came out this week. It followed the coaches poll that came out. A couple quick interesting things. The coaches poll that came out had Texas, Ohio State, Penn State. AP poll went Texas, Penn State, then Ohio State. Although it was pretty close, the voting. I'm sure everybody has access to it, Andy. Yeah. And the temptation is great here to talk about the poll, who should be in, who shouldn't be in, that kind of thing. But you know what? Everybody does that, Andy. I thought you and I could do something a little bit different. Okay.
Okay.
Here's what we're going to do. And we'll do this in quarter two that we're in now and quarter four after Ask Andy. What I'm wondering, Andy, is between you and I, how would we do in ranking these teams? And if we each just did our top 10 or 20, big deal. What I thought we would do instead here is have a little bit of fun and do something. It's kind of like a fantasy draft, only what we get to do is draft teams to make our top 10. But here's the thing. If Andy picks a team, I can't pick them then. I have to pick other teams. So if we each set up our top 10, there'll be actually a total of 20 teams picked where Andy will have 10 and I will have 10. Now, instead of this, first of all, it'll be an exercise in showing which teams we regard most highly. But what we could also do is make a game out of this. I will keep these top 10s, Andy, for the end of the regular season. And the way it'll work is each one of our teams in the top 10, if you picked with the team that ends up number one, you get 10 points. For a team finishing second in the top 10, you get 9, and so on down from 10 down to 1. And we'll see who picked the better fantasy group of college football programs. So, and here's what we decided to on who gets the first pick. Whoever gets first pick, the other guy gets picks 2 and 3, and then we'll go one pick at a time. All right?
Yes.
Now, this, I think, also tells a little bit about you and I, Andy. We set this up yesterday, and we were on a video call with each other. We were going to flip a coin to decide who went first or not. I'm not sure what it means, but neither one of us had a coin with us. However, what you had was a golf tee.
Right on my desk.
So you did like typical who tees off first on the golf course. You flipped the tee to see who it pointed at. It pointed at you, which means you get pick number one, and then I get picks 2 and 3. So the rules make sense. Everyone understand? Andy, you are on the clock, my friend. You are on the clock for the first pick. Who you got?
I have the Penn State Nittany Lions.
You what?
Yeah, I have. I think they're the best football team. I think they're the best. I think they're the most talented football team in the country.
Did I hear you correctly, Andy? Yep. You picked my Penn State Nittany Lions first.
Yep.
Taking them out of my hands.
You're shocked.
Not allowing me to select them.
I'm just saying you can't put them in the number one spot because I've heard it this week. There's been a couple of them, you know, Paul Feinbaum was like, I'm not buying the James Franklin part of it. I'm not buying the James Franklin part of it. I get it. And it does have some relative merit. But guess what James Franklin doesn't do? He ain't playing the football games. I'm looking on the field and I'm saying, find me a more talented team 1 through 25 than Penn State. And I don't think you can find one.
Andy, we are in total agreement. And, you know, I get.
Of course we are.
Are you picking Penn State? And yes, now that means, I think, Andy, there's like 8 teams who you could select number one and not get laughed at for it. The thing, though, is who among those 8 has the best chance? I think Penn State does.
Schedule's good.
Schedule's good. There's a lot of things going their way. Mostly it's the retention of talent.
Amen.
So I'm good with that. That means I get the next 2 picks. I got to cross Penn State off my list, Andy.
Right.
Now, just did you do that intentionally?
No.
To me?
Nope.
Or, okay.
You keep yours. I'm keeping mine. I can't choose these next two teams. I'll cross them off my list, but I have Penn State one.
Okay. I've got next, and there's actually three teams I'm ready to put in here.
I messed with you. I messed with you.
You messed with my head. You really did. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to go Texas.
Okay, so I can cross my number five team off my list.
Number five?
Yep, wow. Next question. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Texas, and boy, I am split between two. I'm going to go Ohio State Buckeyes, the hated Ohio State Buckeyes, Andy.
All right, so you got your one and two are got it. It is, you took Texas and Ohio State.
Yep.
So I get my 1-2. I get Georgia. Georgia is next for me.
Ooh.
Yep. So I get the 1-2 teams I had on my poll, which were, I had Penn State 1 and Georgia 2 when I ranked, you know, 20. I put 20 of them together, and I had Ohio State 3, and I had Texas 5th. So I'm not telling you what else I had in there because you get next. But I got my 1-2. You had to go off the board and go sideways. Now I got you off your game. Big Ten, SEC. I think Penn State's the best team in the Big Ten. I think Georgia's the best team in the SEC. That's why I put them 1-2. And I thought you might take Georgia, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I get what I think is the best team in the SEC too. So I got an early lead in the clubhouse.
That's kind of interesting. Okay, I'm going to probably go now, Andy, off what you might think I would go.
Okay.
I'm going to go Clemson.
Interesting. And I kind of like that. I'm not sure, but I kind of like it. I do kind of like it. I will take Clemson off my list.
And I'll tell you why, Andy. I think Clemson being in the ACC
helps.
And remember, this isn't a post-playoff thing, okay?
No. This is just regular season.
It's a regular season. So how will they do in the regular season?
Yeah.
And I think there might be, like, your argument for Georgia, and you might say, okay, there's two or three Southeast Conference teams, maybe two or three Big Ten teams, maybe four to six teams in those two conferences that I might say in a playoff game, I might think that beat Clemson.
That's different. That's different.
Exactly. No, that is different. So because of that, I'm doing Clemson as a regular season thing. So I'm going Clemson. You are now on the clock, sir. Just to summarize, you have Penn State and Georgia. I have Texas, Ohio State, and Clemson. Your pick, my friend.
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Whoa.
So I had I actually got three of my top four teams. I had Notre Dame fourth on my list. I ranked Notre Dame fourth on my list. So I had Texas 5th and I had Ohio State 3rd. You got them early, but I independent schedule fits, right? I know they've got questions at quarterback. I like their offensive line. I think defensively they have a lot to replace, but they have some depth. I think they have the single best running back in the country, and we know what their offense is, and they know what their identity is, and they're comfortable with it. So I think they're cooking, right? I think he's got them cooking. Just, you know, on many fronts, that program is cooking and trending in the right direction. So for the regular season, over the course of 12 games, give me Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame is interesting. I think, Andy, it's a similar argument to my Clemson argument to put Notre Dame in there because Notre Dame is not playing a Big Ten or Southeast Conference schedule.
That was part of my rankings. I looked at that when I ranked these teams. And like, if I was doing rankings, I have a little experience with it. I'm like, look, there's a landmine. It's called the SEC schedule, even though it's only eight games. Sorry. And there's a landmine called the Big Ten schedule. There just is. And they're two power conferences for a reason. So I gave a lot of credence to that. So, and we saw it near one of the college football playoffs. So we're going to see more of it again this year.
All right. So ready for my next pick?
Please don't pick the team I want as my fourth team.
I'm going Alabama.
Ah, you took them. Okay, good pick. That would have been the next team I took. I had them sixth overall, but yeah.
I know year one, they lost two games they shouldn't have lost last year, Andy. They lost to Vanderbilt and they lost to Oklahoma.
I can't say anything against you, Jimmy. It's just a rock solid pick.
All right.
I'm good with it. Now I'm stuck. I wanted to get that one because I was like, if I can get four of my top six, I will be happy. And I only got three. So man, you put me in a pickle now. I got an SEC school or a Big Ten school. I know who I want to pick fifth. I'm picking Oregon.
Oh, okay.
I seriously considered another school there, an SEC one. And they're right next to each other inside my top 10. But, I'm going Oregon.
I was hoping you would go the other one because I would have taken Oregon. Although, I do think we have picked those eight teams that I think could win the national championship, okay, in each of our top four. Andy, we're going to pick
up. I have another one.
It gets real interesting when we do this on quarter four, but right now, let's ask Andy next.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions and we're going to ask Andy. Andy, I know this is your favorite segment of the show. Are you ready, sir, for our listeners' questions?
I'm ready. I'm just taking my list from quarter two and putting it away from my screen so I don't start doing in-draft analysis of how we're doing this. But it's really cool the way this turned out, the way we're each going to have top 10. But let's get to some listener questions. Fire away. Let's go.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Andy, I'll tell you, interesting group of questioners this year. We've got this week. We got several newbies. Okay. I think they're first timers. And of course, we got a couple of our regulars. So let's start with a newbie, Ted from Youngwood. I wonder where's Youngwood? We'll have to look that up while we're talking here.
Is that in PA? Never heard of it. Anyway, go ahead.
Andy, I am a true blue Penn State fan who acknowledges the offense will be something special this year. But I'm not so sure about the defense, especially the line, the linebackers, and depth. Am I wrong, or can Jim Knowles' defensive schemes minimize those perceived weaknesses?
Yeah, so you're not wrong, Ted. You got a really really good point. The defensive line, you have a star in both spots, right? You have a potential, well, I think a star already. Deny Dennis Sutton's a star, right? So you have one on the edge. You've got an anchor in the middle in Zane Durant, star, right? So you've got building blocks. It's everything else around him, right? Like, it's the other defensive end. It's the defensive end depth. Here's what Penn State has that gives me cause for a little bit of hope along the defensive front is they have guys they want and guys that they are pretty sure can fill these roles. How that plays out and exactly looks, that's something that the first three games, the JV schedule, actually serves them well. They get to mix and match and use that 12 quarters. See me doing math in my head. Get to use the 12 quarters to tighten that ship up, right? You should be seeing, that irrelevant of the score, you should be seeing, you know, your fourth and fifth and sixth defensive linemen playing in the second and third quarters, irregardless of the score. You should be seeing four and five defensive ends playing, irregardless of the score. You want to find out and get as much laid down on tape of these guys as you can in those first 12 quarters so that when you use your bye week before the Oregon game in the whiteout, you nail it down, right? You take what you know and digest it. And remember, the other good point about the defense, Ted, is they're all learning a new defense. It's Jim's defense. It might not be structurally a whole. There's going to be a learning curve that comes with it. The linebacker is a good point. I feel solid in the two starters that they have in the 4-2-5 set. Jim's a fan of the linebacker from North Carolina, the transfer in as a third wheel. But I still think this is a top 10 in the country defense. And I think they're being coordinated by one of the best, if not the best. And he will know how to attack offenses after 12 quarters.
You know what, Andy? I think they're deeper on defense than Ted realizes, because I think some of the players, the names aren't familiar.
Correct.
That's in the depth.
They have what they want.
Yes, I think we will see that. Hey, how about we stick with the Jim Knowles theme, and we're going to go with another newbie. By the way, Youngwood is in Pennsylvania. It's in Southwest Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So other side of the state, as far as you and I are concerned,
between Pittsburgh and West Virginia.
All right, let's go to Josh in Detroit.
Oh,
by the way, I think Detroit's in Michigan, Andy.
Well done, Jimmy. Can't get anything by you. Well done, Geography Jim.
That's right. Josh from Detroit says, there's no doubt Jim Knowles was a home run hire at defensive coordinator. But does it really help us against Ohio State? Ryan Day is also very familiar with Jim Knowles. So is this an advantage or disadvantage?
Oh, Josh, that's let me say this. Here's how I'm going to do it. I had to think about how I was going to say it. I know they won the national championship. I think Jim Knowles is better at his job as a defensive coordinator than Ryan Knowles is as an offensive coordinator Ryan Day, than he is as an offensive coordinator slash head coach. Jim Knowles is just better at his job. He's just better. He might not be like an ideal head coach. Like Ryan might be set up as a CEO to be a better, but coaching the game of football, Jim Knowles is better. That's where I give in his question in that scenario, I'm like, that's a really good point. And in some respects, I think Jim will have more canned goods in his cupboard to go to than Ohio State and Ryan Day might offensively. So that's the way I'm going to phrase it, Josh. Really, really deep, good question. That's a good one.
Andy, I'm going to give the same answer as you, but for a different reason. I think Jim Knowles as an individual being exposed to the entire Ohio State program. Not only does he know, say, Ryan Day's offense, but he knows the personnel over in Ohio State. Not only that, and there's been these conversations that Jim Knowles has had meetings with Andy Kotelnicki saying, you know what, Andy, here's how we stopped you. Here's how we game planned your offense.
This is what I knew.
Yes. So we're going to expose you to that.
Yep.
Hey, Drew Aller, this is what we saw in scouting you. So this is where we thought you were vulnerable. And on the, you know, the flip side, he could also say, hey, here's where I think you guys missed the boat in attacking our defense. I did this or that with that personnel.
Better at his job.
Jim Knowles is exposed to all of the Ohio State program, where Ryan Day is just looking at how Jim Knowles coached Ohio State. And I think Jim Knowles will be capable of, you know, adjusting those things. So good question. But anyway, let's move on. Let's go to a more regular listener who sends in questions. And that's Jimmy from Forest City. I think it's been a few weeks at least since we've heard from Jimmy. He says, dear Andy and Jim, is there a detrimental mental component to playing three cupcakes to start the season and then having the significant step change to Oregon? In other words, the team is used to dominating and then they get hit with significant resistance and challenge for the first time.
It's a fair point. It's a fair thought process. It's not for as much salt and pepper and sauce that Penn State has on its team this year. In other words, they're vastly experienced, right? They've been around the block. This isn't their first rodeo. They're going to know exactly what they need to get done and accomplished going into a bye week before they play Oregon, right? So that's the key. They don't have to come off of, you know, whatever the third game is. I can't even remember which one of the JV games it is. They don't have to come off of that game and turn around and go right into Oregon. They have a bye week. Big difference, right? That's 2 weeks to prep for Oregon on the next level and get them ready. That is where the coaching staff takes over the practice field and is their responsibility to get them ready for the speed, talent, tone, tenor, and temperature that the whiteout game against Oregon will be. They've got 12 quarters of body work. I don't think it hurts them. It kind of is almost like, well, what if they played, you know, say Northwestern, Purdue, and Rutgers? Is there really that much difference? Really, at the level this team's at, it's not a marked difference to me. So there's still some work that this team will want to accomplish. But I think them having the bye, and that's where the coaching staff takes over, plays a big, big role. If they had to come straight off of it, I'd have a little more concern. They have a break. That's a huge, huge advantage for them.
And a couple more things to add on to that, Andy. I think, first of all, this is an experienced Penn State team. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't the first test Drew Aller will have. This isn't the first test this offensive line has had, okay? Most of these guys, this is part of all that talent returning. With the retention of talent, these guys have been to the wars.
Been around the block, not their first rodeo.
And the other part to this, and I was thinking, Andy, I'm with you. I hate this out-of-conference schedule. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
Yeah.
Give me just a reasonable team to play. It doesn't have to be a top-10 team. But how about just somebody with a pulse, okay? However, with that said, I think the method to the madness from James Franklin, I think part of this also is this is a long college football season if you're going to get through the playoffs,
yep.
Okay? You also have to worry about the health of your team. And I think the fact that those first three games, you don't have to push your starters. You don't have to put more miles on them, okay? You could rotate in the young players. And with a new defensive coordinator, you get them to work out the kinks in a comfortable way without it being the test that an Oregon type team would be, Andy.
Hey, you know, if nothing else, Jimmy, they got you off your Braveheart. Penn State has to play a road game to open the season thing. That that mountain you've been standing on for like, what, 3 years? Like, they have to play on a planner. And I'm like the, you know, get off my lawn, kids. And I'm like, well, not only do they not have a road game to open the season, they have four straight home games to kick off the season, including a whiteout. So if nothing else, this team gets a chance to feel comfortable in their own skin. And for what it's worth, and this is recognized in college football, Penn State's a different football team at home. No matter how good or bad they are, they're just a different beast to handle inside that stadium. They are. End of story. And
I think if I were Oregon, I'm not happy that my first Big Ten game, is it their first Big Ten game? I'm not sure. But they've got to go cross country.
Yep.
And play in a whiteout at night. I'd be more concerned about those things for Oregon than about Penn State. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter three. When we come back, the rest of our top 10 contest. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim, and we are doing our fantasy draft of college football teams. Andy, let's just update our listeners where we are. We're choosing teams. We can't both choose the same team, so it's not like a normal top 10. Andy's got Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Oregon. I've got Texas, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. It is my pick, Andy, and boy, I am. I'm stuck now. I am stuck. Boy, I hate every one of my options. I'm going to go LSU.
Yes. I'm so happy you picked them.
They were the
other team I was considering in the fourth spot. It was Oregon or LSU. I kind of have them as mirror images of each other. Now, this is the team I wanted fifth all along. South Carolina Gamecocks.
You son of a gun, you.
South Carolina, dude.
No.
No, absolutely. I had them 10th overall in my rankings. 10th. I went South Carolina. They are my number five team. I took them. I knew you. I was hoping you wouldn't take them with your fifth pick, because if you did, then I would have had to pick LSU, and I was like, oh, I picked LSU. And I was struggling between Oregon and LSU's four, but yeah, South Carolina. So I'm at five, so I got five of my top 10. So all of my top 10 is gone.
Andy, I am so upset with you. And I actually... I don't know if you can see this. I had South Carolina ahead of LSU in my notes.
Well, why did you pick LSU?
I don't know. It was so close between the two of them, Andy.
Oh, Jimmy.
And I thought you wouldn't have them. And I thought I could sneak them in on my next pick.
No, sir. No, sir.
I thought you were more likely to take LSU. And by the way, that also ends my top 10 also. Just to show you, all of my top 10, everybody is scratched out.
Yeah, so now come down to who did you like to fill out, you know, who did you like to fill it out? And this will be relative because we're now picking teams that will probably finish outside the top 10, but it's closest to their number, right? Like how far are they away? So yeah. This becomes the bottom five is more important, I think, than the top five. So
more variance and choices.
Yep. Got a lot of them out there, Jimmy. A lot. The second 10 is the crazy zone. It's got a lot of teams in it all the way to 25. So you got both of our top 10s are done. This is where it becomes who do you like and who do you not. So you get the first pick. Go ahead. Round number six.
I'm going with those Michigan Wolverines.
Okay. Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all. So I only have one. I'm going to ride. I have an idea where I'm going to go for the next two picks. And I'm going to start. I'm going to take my first wild card. But okay. I'm going to take Illinois. I'm buying it. I think their offensive line is just tremendous. I think they have an identity. I think they have a formula to win games. Everyone kind of forgets that Illinois was a 10-win team last year and brings more starters back than anybody in the country. So I'm going to take the Illini. I'm going to go with them.
I understand the choice. I do. And I think that when I've talked about who's going to be the Indiana of this season, Illinois, I think, is the right choice. Okay.
Yep.
What I wonder, though, is was that 10 wins last year the outlier for them? And that instead of them building something, was that the peak? And that would be my concern.
Maybe if they had 50% of their roster back instead of 80% of it. You know what I mean, Jimmy? Yep. And the 20% they lost aren't at like sort of those critical right spots. It's just
retention of talent, Andy.
Yeah, it just feels like their talent retention was at a level that it could be sustainable. But all right. Go ahead.
I am going to take Miami.
Oh, thank God. I wasn't going to draft them.
I'm not. And to me, it's kind of like now that we're kind of in this wild card kind of thing.
Yep.
I think they have the advantage of playing in the ACC with an ACC schedule.
That's smart. That's probably a good pick. Okay. I'm going back to some blue bloodness. I'm going to go Texas A&M.
Ooh, interesting.
How deep did you have them?
They might have been my next pick.
Oh, okay. So they were they were in play. Okay.
They were in play. It's always like you get sucked into their talent.
Correct.
You know, they usually disappoint us, but
they do. I'm a big fan of their coach. I think their coach makes I think he can win them a game or two they shouldn't this year. But it's still a risky pick. But I'm going Texas A&M. I like where I'm headed.
All right. I'm going Ole Miss.
Oh, wow. That's a deep cut for me. Where did you have them in your when you ranked your top 20, Jimmy?
I have them like in this bunch with like five teams.
Okay.
And I needed to decide which of that group to take. So it's funny. I'm kind of going away from my list. Okay.
Yeah.
I have my big board.
My big board's put together for a reason. I'm going next.
Well, that's what I should be doing, but I'm changing on the fly, Andy.
I'm sticking to my big board, so I'm going to take Arizona State.
Ooh.
Why not, right? Like, I'm getting them, what is it? What are we in? Round 9? This is my eighth or ninth pick?
1, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's your eighth pick.
Okay, so that's round 8, so that means it's like, it's 16, somewhere in the 16 to 20 range. So we're looking at teams in there, and I'm like, Big 12, could they be a champion? Could they win a lot of games? Could they win the Big 12 championship? Nobody else around them, pretty much. So I'm like, why not take them here? So I took them.
All right. I'm going Florida Gators.
Yeah, I stayed away from them. Billy Napier. Oof. And you took Ole Miss. You're round nine was the Florida Gators. Aren't they like a top 15 team, Jimmy, in the AP?
AP had them number 15. I believe in the quarterback. I also believe that this is a team that he's got to do it this year. So, yep.
So I'm going to go back to the I'm going to take Oklahoma.
That was going to be my next pick.
Why not? It's sort of they're in a now or never sort of under Brent Venables. You know what I mean? Like there's that kind of pressure on Oklahoma right now. They're sort of outside the pressure attention window. Does that make sense? You know what yes. I mean? They're not inside the high attention bubble. So they just kind of get to.
They could kind of sneak up on people.
They have a chance. I mean, they've got some pieces. It's just, they've had pieces. They just, under Brent, they haven't been able to pull them together and they've been dysfunctional. Does that continue or does it change? So I'll take a flyer. I'll say that it changes. I think this is the last pick is where it, I think it could get. This could get a little bit crazy. How many teams do you have left? Let's start. We're down to the last one. We each have one more pick. Okay, so you have three.
Yeah.
I have two.
Well, here was interesting. Let me explain to you. I didn't have Arizona State on my list.
Really?
I thought the Big 12, I think there's about five teams. Like, in the top 25, there's Iowa State. There's Texas Tech. There's Arizona State.
Kansas State's in there.
Yes, Kansas State is in there. So it's like, which team do you think that there can be? Now, I think in the coaches poll, I think they also have BYU. Okay.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I
kind of look at all those teams and say,
I'm staying away.
Throw them in a hat or stay away. So it's like, do I go for one of the Big 12 teams or do I go for, you know, the Big 10 or the Southeast Conference team? And I don't mind. I'll share. I have Indiana from the Big 10. I have Tennessee from the Southeast Conference. And then it's like, who do I pick from the Big 12? So I think, you know, Big 12 box of chocolates, Andy.
So based on your list, my number 10 team that I wanted to put in here at 10, as I built my rankings, I'm safe.
Okay, so I'll pick one of these teams, and boy, I'm not crazy about them. Because again, I think last year may have been the outlier, but I'll take Indiana.
All right, you're taking Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm taking SMU.
That's a good pick.
Thank you. That's like the quarterback. You remember after Penn in that playoff game, after Penn State sort of rocked their world.
Yes.
For a half, they actually played a solid half of football and their defense was there all day, right? Like their defense played a decent football game. So I think they have enough pieces. I think they're in the ACC. So I like having them as they were my last hopeful pick that you wouldn't pick in the 10th. I was like, because I had little parentheses next to mine of where I wanted to hope to get them. And I got my first three. I was hoping to get Penn State, Georgia, and Notre Dame. Those were my first three picks that I wanted based on you getting two and three. And I knew some teams would be gone. I was like, if I can get these three teams, I'll be happy. So
real quick, Andy, here's our two lists. You've got Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, South Carolina, Illinois, Texas A&M, Arizona State, Oklahoma, SMU. I've got Texas, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, LSU, Michigan, Miami, Ole Miss, Florida, and Indiana. I think they're two pretty good lists, Andy. Two pretty comparable lists. It's going to be fun when we have games like, I think Indiana plays Illinois pretty early in the season.
We'll be rooting.
We will be rooting. All right, Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.